And speaking of that, let's go to our sermon. This morning we're speaking about spiritual maturity, and we're going to pick up in chapter 5 where we were 2 weeks ago, having to do with the problem of these believers that were dull of hearing. And when we speak of dull of hearing, let's read verses 11. Actually, let's go back to 9 again. I go back to our scripture memory verse in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 9, and read to the end of the chapter. I'll read out loud. You follow along. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And let's consider then this problem that the teacher addresses in the book of Hebrews of these believers. Remember, they're Jewish believers. They're shortly before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And there is a terribly difficult challenge to their Christian life in regard to their relationship with the Jewish nation, with the law of Moses, and the new covenant that has been given in Christ Jesus, and their relationship to that one and final sacrifice that has been given in Christ on the cross of Calvary for their sins. And so they're mixed up in the temple in regard to the provision of God for, and get this, because this is vital and crucial to this passage, the provision in Christ Jesus that God has made for sanctification, for living the Christian life. Because in the past, it had been related to the law of Moses. It had been related to these sacrifices that the Aaronic priest would make, and this relationship that they had with God through the temple and all of that thing. Well, because of Christ's ministry, things had shifted. And so that's what he's dealing with. But in regard to these believers, there's an issue and a problem because of a thing called dullness of hearing. And he says, concerning Christ, we have many things to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And this dull of hearing we explained last time, because we did do verse 11 there, has to do with the loss of drive or spiritual vitality. Because the Holy Spirit, do you remember in John, the Gospel of John, what Christ explained would happen when he ascended to be with the Father? What would happen? What big, major event was going to take place? The Holy Spirit would come. He would send another comforter. And that comforter would do what? He would provide guidance, and he would teach you all things. So, there are teachers in the body of Christ, in the local church. And teachers are given, they have gifts of God, gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to them to equip the body and teach the body. But what Christ was teaching is that the Holy Spirit, He labors through all of this. He works through all of it. He guides. He directs. Through the teaching of this scripture that this person is writing, the Holy Spirit is convicting and providing vitality and life in regard to the words that are being taught. Okay? And when you become dull of hearing, you lose that spiritual vitality. You lose that drive to pursue after the spiritual things, the things of God. And you become dull and spiritually slothful, and bad things happen because of that. You know, I mean, first it starts there with a little dullness, spiritually, a little lack of the grasp of the value of the treasure that God has given to us in His Word. I mean, for crying out loud, folks, God has spoken to us. He has spoken, and He's God. And, you know, if we have the right perspective, that we're excited and there's vitality and a recognition of the value of what that means, you know. But, I mean, we can relate this to our generation today because there's such a dullness for the Word of God. It's astounding how little understanding of the basic things of Scripture there are. So if there's a verse of Scripture that might apply to our world today, to our culture, to the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America and elsewhere, it would be these verses. I mean, we need this message. And so he speaks of it being dull of hearing, and it gives us now the reason why it was hard to explain. Is because they had become dull of hearing. We found that out in verse 11. And now it gives us a reason that you became dull of hearing. And that's the explanation in verses 12, 13, and 14 that we want to look at. And we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. If you have your notes out of your bulletin, you can pull those out. That might be helpful to you. And we'll put them up on the screen for you. But those who are dull of hearing, and the question becomes, why have they become dull of hearing? And he's explaining that in these verses. But before we get there, let me explain one more thing in the introduction here. And that has to do with the concept or the understanding of spirituality and maturity. So we're talking about spiritual maturity this morning, but sometimes spirituality and maturity become confused. Okay? Spirituality and maturity are related, but a believer can have spirituality. In other words, a baby believer, one that has just come to know Christ, and they're all excited. You know, you've had that experience when someone first comes to know Christ and they have that first love for Christ and the awareness that their sins have been forgiven, and they're babies. They know absolutely nothing, but they're spiritual, right? They're spiritual because in the moment they're being controlled by the Spirit of God. Regardless of how much they know about righteousness and those things, they are controlled by the Spirit of God. So spirituality, number one in your notes there, is the control in the moment by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what spirituality is. And so get the picture here, because sometimes this is confusing for people in the sanctification and walking with God area of their lives. But understand that a veteran, an elder of this church, can have maturity but be unspiritual, be carnal. And the fact is that spiritual means that you're controlled by the Spirit, and the opposite of that is being carnal or being controlled by the flesh, right? And that can happen. So you can have someone that's spiritually mature here that is carnal, that is not being controlled by the Spirit at the moment, although they know righteousness and have been exercised in the word of righteousness, those things, but yet they're not being controlled by the Spirit. Their flesh is controlling them, okay? On the other hand, you can have this baby believer here that's just consumed in his love for the Lord Jesus. He's controlled by the Spirit, but with no understanding about how to make decisions about right and wrong. Doesn't know the Word. He's a baby. Okay? So you get the picture here. Secondly, maturity there, again in your notes, is obedience and the life experience to the Word. So when we're talking about spiritual maturity, we're talking about addressing the idea that that one, as they become exercised in the Word, as they relate to the Word, and the Holy Spirit brings light and truth into their lives, then there's an experience of the application of that Word to your life, right? Understand what I'm saying? That's spiritual maturity, and that's really what we're looking at. Maturity is the integration of God's truth into daily decision-making activities of our lives. Immaturity, on the other hand, is not exercising the word of righteousness into the challenging daily decision-making processes to discern good and evil. Got that? Okay. So maturity has to do with the exercise of God's word integrated into your life in such a way that you're making decisions and that you're looking at politics and science and every particular area of life from a biblical worldview. And it comes from knowing the scripture. Can't get it any other way. You can't have maturity and cut the corners. It's been tried. The charismatic churches try to have experiences and try to go on these big highs where they have wild and bizarre experiences and try to get a little higher each time to keep that level of maturity up. And it doesn't work, because maturity comes from taking God's word, understanding God's word, and applying and integrating that word into your life, into every area of life. And if you try to shortcut the Christian life any other way, it's not going to happen. I can just tell you that eventually you'll come up short unless you're feeding upon the Word of God and these things. So number three in your notes there, spirituality should lead to maturity. Steve, am I doing okay with you? My wife's not here today. She's in, but we got fill-ins. But spirituality should lead to maturity. Okay? All right, so they're connected, very much connected. And one who is spiritual has a vitality. They're not dull of hearing. They're anxious to hear. They want to know the Word of God. They have a hunger for the Word of God. They have a longing to be in that quiet time of prayer with God. Okay? All right, how are you? Personally, how are you in regard to those things? Do you hunger? And do you long, or do you find times during the day where you're saying, man, I need to just get aside and have some time in prayer with the Lord. I need to hear from Him. I need to be with Him. I need to know His presence in my life. I need to be full of Him. And do you long for those things? Do you have that type of spiritual vitality? Because that vitality will compel you to go to His Word. And there you'll find more about Him. And as you learn more about someone, you love them more. Especially someone whose character and whose beauty of His holiness is like the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So we long to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And spirituality leads us to that desire to study God's Word, that desire to pray, that desire to be in His presence, that desire to be at church, that desire which keeps you awake on the pew because there's something, a treasure in God's Word that is there for you, that the Holy Spirit desires to communicate to you. And so vitality has to do with that type of spirituality that leads to a hunger for God's Word. Number four, maturity should produce more spirituality. See, it's a cyclical thing, right? So more spiritual, more maturity. More maturity, more spiritual. So let's go ahead and get into verse 12 here. I didn't know how we'd do time-wise, but this is an important passage, so I'm not going to rush it. And we'll do what we can do this morning. But look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So there's some really interesting things and an interesting way of putting this in this passage here. But look at the first phrase there. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, there's some things that we can learn about spiritual maturity here, and I'd like to point those out to you in these verses. Spiritual maturity, and this is in your notes here, requires the student to have time to grow to become teachers. And that's what is indicated in this little phrase right here. It says, you ought to be at this time speaking of the chronological time frame of what's taken place in their lives. They've been believers long enough that they ought to be teaching these things. And sadly, they're not. Sadly, they're at a place where someone needs to go over the elementary things of Scripture with them, right? So there's a significant amount of time that has elapsed here. That's the point that we're making. And they have been taught enough to be teachers. There's time and there's teaching. It should equal this, and it does not. And that's the author's complaint to these believers. He's challenging them. He's moving them, encouraging them in their Christian life to buck up. Now think about it, because we know that in the time frame of the writing of this book, that it was probably just maybe even like months before the fall of Jerusalem. Okay, and these things are coming about, and they knew because Christ said that not one stone would stand upon the other, right? So Christ was saying that this judgment was going to come on Israel, and when he told the disciples in the Gospels that not one stone of the temple would stand upon the other, they knew immediately what that meant. Leviticus chapter 26, there are five cycles of discipline. In the fifth cycle of discipline, the people lose the land that was promised to them in the covenant of Abraham and in the land covenant that was given to Moses. Okay? They were going to lose that. And these believers had been told these things. They knew what Jesus had said. And these events were future, and they had them to face. Now, if I can put your mind back into Jerusalem when they destroyed the temple, if you can, it's hard for us to imagine, but you just imagine it with me, okay? We're going there. And it's 70 AD, and you're inside the walls of Jerusalem. And it's really cool when you go there to see sometimes the ruins that they uncover, and they find these Babylonian arrowheads, and they find Roman stuff that's there on the walls. And as they broach the city walls and they came into the temple area, they burnt the temple. And as they burnt the temple, the gold off of the temple got so hot that it ran down into the rocks and the stones of the temple. And so the Roman soldiers came in and they turned over those stones to recover that gold. And people were slaughtered, and women were raped, and children were slaughtered in the streets. And you can't, our minds sometimes need to go to the experience that's being spoken of in God's Word to understand the gravity of the discipline that is going to fall upon the nation of Israel. And this believer that is writing this book wants for the people to be prepared. He wants for them to their hearts to be ready, to know and to be where they need to be in regard to these terrible and tragic, horrible events that are going to take place. And we are sometimes so removed because we've had so much peace in the United States that we really don't understand the horror of that type of moment when the Roman soldiers have broken through the wall and they're coming in. And that moment of judgment takes place. But the Scripture teaches us that these moments of judgment come. So let's look at it. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and this author, this writer, this believer is encouraging these believers to step up, to what is required, to face the future things as those who are in Christ with boldness and grace and all that is needed. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of grace. Let's look at that little phrase. You have need again. Okay, so the idea there is that the lesson needs to be repeated. You've heard it. There's been a period of time that elapsed, but you need to hear it repeated. And notice that it says, you have need again for someone. And I found that kind of humorous. This teacher said, well, evidently I can't do it, but we're going to have someone. to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And if you ever notice that, some of you that have taught, you know what I'm talking about. And I can laugh about it, but it doesn't bother me that badly. But I have noticed that as a teacher that there are things that I say and repeat over and over, and then someone like Dr. Ron Blue will come in from Dallas Seminary and say the same thing, and it's like, man, somebody catches on. The light bulb comes on, and saying the same thing that I've said over and over 100 different ways at 100 different times, but because for whatever reason, another teacher, the Holy Spirit, grips that person with the understanding of that truth. And they get excited about it. You're going, man, I'm glad they're excited. You do. But you also go, man, you know, what is the deal here? But it's typical. It happens with teachers. And it's just something that is characteristic of the Christian life. I don't know why that is. But what this teacher is saying is that someone needs to teach you again these elementary principles. So they still don't know the fundamentals of the word here. And he's saying that you need to be taught the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Now, what do you think those might be? See, he doesn't define them here. But I think in chapter 6, he deals with it a little bit. But I just want you to think about that a little bit. What would the elementary principles of the Christian life be? And what would he be talking about in moving on from those elementary principles? Because that's what he's going to want to do here. That's what we're going to look at in the weeks ahead, these things that are beyond the elementary principles of the Christian life, and let me just lay it out for you here, on to having to do with going back to verse 9 in chapter 5, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So what he's going to be dealing with, and we're going to look at in these next verses, the next number of weeks, is this source of eternal life that the believer has, whereby he can grow and come to know the life of Christ, the righteousness of Christ in him. Okay, so these are deeper than the elementary principles of how you come to know come to faith in Jesus Christ. These principles have to do with how we embrace the eternal life that he has accomplished, and we know the reality of what he has intended for us as believers. It's exciting stuff. I mean, this is the real, this is God's word, a treasure to the believer. That if we will lay hold of these truths, it will greatly benefit our lives. But what he's saying here is that you need to understand these elementary principles. Why do you need that? And when I took percussion, you know, when I first came here, and I went into to Jim Hall. He's a great teacher. But I went in, and, you know, when you initially start playing, I'd learned all of these habits. And, you know, my right hand dropped to the side. I did this kind of stuff. And how you hold your sticks. I had to learn it all over again. I had to learn that the stick is held here and that the wrist gets a direct stroke into the drum. Basic stuff. But you come and you have to learn fundamentals over again. And then, you know, you go through what in percussion is called the 13 elementary rudiments. And so you learn to open and close things like a rademacue. How many of you ever heard of rademacue? Yes. How about a flamparadiddle? Those are some of the 13 essential percussion rudiments. But those are the fundamentals. And those are the things that once you have those down, when you get on the drum set, there's a lot of different things you can do, because all you're doing is mixing up those essential rudiments, just mixing them up. And if you forget the fundamentals, if you forget the essentials, if you forget the elementary principles, then it affects everything. You know, it affects everything that you learn down the line. So this word for elementary principles means rudiments. It means the ABCs. How many of you remember the readers, see, spot, run? Run, spot, run. We had those readers. Some of you are here that did not, but those were the elementary points of learning to read. And that book, those readers, helped you through those things. And as you learn the fundamentals, the alphabet, the rudiments, the fundamentals, then everything builds off of that. So it's essential that you know the rudiments, that you know the fundamentals, that you know the elementary principles. And again, that's what our meeting is next week. We'll be talking about how we ground folks in the elementary principles. And you're saying, well, I don't need those, but you do. And if you don't personally need them, you need a manner and a way in which you can present them to others that you bring to Christ. And so we want to encourage that, and we want to encourage you to explore this reality that you're at a place at a time when you need to be a teacher. Grace Bible Church is about equipping people for ministry. That's what we do. That's what we understand, the biblical means of the biblical definition and vision in the Scripture for discipleship under Christ and the disciples. We see a model there that is all about equipping the saints. You know, the staff, the leadership, the deacons and elders, you know, they're not the ministers in this place. You are the ministers. You're to be equipped to minister for Christ Jesus in every area. So when we spread out from here, we go bearing the message of Christ, carrying it into businesses, into school, into every area of life. We carry these things. And so we want to be equipped. And that means that you have to know the fundamentals. So number two, we retain knowledge of the fundamentals. Spiritual maturity requires the student to retain knowledge of the fundamentals. And then the last phrase there, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Okay? So notice that it's peculiar here because always verb tenses mean something. I know that most of you know that by now, but that the phrase beginning above that is present tense, and it's iterative. It means that in repeated manner of time, they have need again. And so sometimes present tense means ongoing present tense, but sometimes it means iterative, over and again, or repeated in a repeated sense. But this verb here having to do with you have come to need milk and not solid food is perfect tense. And what it means is that there was a point in time in the past at which, in this context, they regressed to a point in time that they needed to have milk and not strong food anymore. So that's sad, isn't it? Because we know that what they're saying here is that you ought to be teachers. It means that for a period of time you've been taught. For a period of time you should have learned these things to the point that you should be a teacher. But what it's saying is that something happened with these believers that they regressed, and that there was a point at time at which they needed to be taught the fundamentals again. They needed to be going back to the rudimentary things. And so here we pick up with a contrast. In regard to why they're dull of hearing, we find this contrast between milk and strong meat is a further explanation of those things. But the question being, again, why are they dull of hearing? And they're dull of hearing because after all this time, they cannot or have not retained the rudimentary truths of the oracles, and they do not recall the rudimentary gospel truths. So milk is a metaphor. It's a metaphor, what it is, for for the gospel, the truths, the basic truths of the gospel. And strong meat then would be something moving beyond the fundamentals to the deeper things in the Christian life. That's what we'll explore as we look next time. I want to go ahead and stop here so that that we can take time to consider some of the truths. And what we'll do next time is look at the question of why they needed milk. Okay, why is it? And we want to think about it. You can think about it this week. Why did they come to the place of needing milk again? What happened? And we'll talk about that. And he gives some great truths here. They're in your notes. But we'll pick up with those next time and talk about, again, why believers, after some period of time, come to a place, a point in time, where they need again to hear the fundamental or basic things of the Christian life, and why they come back to needing milk. But think about the picture here of a baby. A baby drinks milk, and then finally you move them to solid foods, don't you? Okay, so we're looking at something that's that from the picture of it is unnatural. You know, you don't go back from the growth, from the physical growth, from the strong meat back to just living and consisting off of milk or going back to milk. It's kind of a weird picture, but it's interesting to think about. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for this day. Lord, we're greatly blessed as a church body in all that has unfolded and taken place in regard to the summer Bible clubs, the fact that the Jenkins and Johan are sharing the gospel in Montana. Lord, we've got Nat left this last week to go back to Mexico, and she's working there, laboring on the mission field. We have Louie, Lord, that is going to school and ministering and sharing the gospel in South Africa. And then we have the missionaries in Sudan and Turkey and all of these places. We pray for Dr. Price, and Lord, just keep him safe and direct his steps, guide them, and Lord, give them good health and all that's needed to do the work that's needed to be done. They're in such a treacherous place, a dangerous place. And God, we just rejoice in all that you're doing and in the gravity of these things, that we have those that love you and that are willing to serve you and go out, do Bible clubs in the summer and evangelize and get training next week, and those that go on the mission field, whether short term or long term. God, we're blessed by it all. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and for the life that is in Jesus Christ, for all that it means, both now and for eternity. And we pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.